It's going down, and you're invited for what they selling. We ain't buying, there is no running, there is no hiding, there's only fighting or dying. It's going down, and you're invited for what they selling. We ain't buying, there is no running, there is no hiding, there's only fighting or dying.
It's Going Down is a digital community center from anarchist, anti-fascist, autonomous, anti-capitalist, and anti-colonial movements. Our mission is to provide an autonomous and resilient platform to publicize and promote revolutionary theory and action.
Go to itsgoingdown.org for daily updates. Check out our online store for ways to donate and rate and follow us on iTunes if you like this podcast. So why don't we just go back to the beginning? I mean, you were on the program before at the encampment. From our understanding, your DACA was up and the police, you know, already, you know, knew that and basically swooped on you the day after that happened. Do you just want to take us through, you know, just the first initial stuff that went down?
So on August 7th, actually, I had my appointment with Verizon to do my biometrics and continue on with my DACA renewal. On August 3rd, my previous DACA had expired because I had been late in renewing it. Previous DACA had expired, and I was the same day as my DACA expired, I was picked up by ICE and taken to the Pearsall Detention Center to be processed. Pearsall is about 40 minutes away from San Antonio, and that is where they crossed me, and they handed me a piece of paper that said my DACA had been, my renewal had been denied. I believe that's what it's, that it had been denied on discretionary purposes, basically saying that you are not applicable to be, like, to have discretion towards your deportation. Basically, they were saying, we don't like you, so you're not applicable to not be deported, kind of. And if you want, I can actually find that real quick and read it off to you.
Yeah, there was an article in The Intercept that came out where it was stated that the ICE pigs were saying, like, look, you're hanging around with a bunch of anarchists at these protests, like, you know, these are not good people, I think was one of the quotes.
Yeah, that is very much a possibility. Again, it was based on discretionary purposes. And I got it here somewhere. I can find it real quick. It's actually, like, I'm thinking of framing it. It's kind of funny. One sec. It might be all the way back here. I still haven't unpacked all of it, you know?
Yeah.
Okay, here it is. Yeah. So, yeah, they handed me a letter from, you know, ICE, and it says, decision, USCIS has evaluated your form, blah, blah, for DACA. You have not established that you warrant a favorable exercise of prosecutorial discretion. Is the reason they gave on the letter. So basically they're saying I was unfavorable, and because of that, I'm not gonna not deport you, basically. So that's what happened on August 3rd. I was in that letter and all my other paperwork there at Pearsall. Then, as my paperwork was being processed, I was in a holding cell by myself. And at that point, that's when they brought in the FBI agents, and I was taken into a different room.
In right. What was your take on the FBI agents? Because they, you know, they obviously have a whole different, you know, look at this thing. I mean, they were talking to you about, that's when they brought up the term anarchist, right?
No, they never brought up any of those types of terms. However, what they said to me was, I don't remember, well, I remember it in bits and pieces, but the gist of it was they were asking me questions, like telling me stuff like, you seem like an interest, you seem like a kid with a lot to say, like we're here to listen. And they asked me questions about, you know, what would, you know, we're interested in the friends you hang around with. And, do you seem to be, they seem to have thought I'm some sort of like leader in movement. They used that term, and when I pushed them on it, they were, you know, defensive about it, but that's essentially what they did, is they questioned me about, you know, my friends and what I believe in. And it was at that point when they actually told me, you know, they did what the FBI does. They told me, if I were to give up information and consent to talking, potentially the fact that I was helpful to federal agents would reach an immigration judge.
Right.
Is what they told me. And of course, I pushed them on it and I said, okay, but if I don't talk, will it affect me negatively? And of course, that broke their lie, because they were like, oh, well, we actually are a completely different department. We don't have anything to, you know. So,
right.
I kind of caught them in that lie. Like, you know, it's because that's what it was. It was just a lie. It was, they're liars and they're snakes. They described themselves as scribes when I met them. But,
as what?
You know, they're snakes. Scribes is what they said.
Wow.
They said, we just go out and we gather information.
Right.
But I would describe them much more as snakes.
Right. So they were hoping that you would snitch on your friends, basically.
Yeah. And it isn't. And for me, it was the FBI, because I was taking part in a protest. So for me, this is an issue that happens all the time. If I was inside with somebody who was friends with somebody who was in a gang, and so when he was taken by ICE, gang task forces would start questioning him about the people they hang out with. And they do that a lot to a lot of people. And they intimidate a lot of people who have just detained, not just the FBI, like, but also gang task force and police in general, intimidate people into talking about who they know and what they know, offering them help in immigration court, but all it does is land them extra charges, you know?
Right.
So
after you had that experience with the FBI, then what was the next part of that whole journey?
Right. So obviously I didn't tell them anything.
Right.
So they put me back into that room, into the holding cell, and my paperwork was finished. They took me out of the cell, and they told me I was going to be transferred to the Laredo detention to Webb County detention facility in Laredo, Texas, which is further away from home. It's about 2 or 3 hours away from my home,
right?
In San Antonio. And so at that moment, when they were giving me all my paperwork and everything to be transferred, at that moment, the FBI came back into the room and handed me a search warrant for my phone. Yeah. that's, they handed me a warrant for my phone for that. And then I at that point I asked the FBI, because, you know, I was scared, like, I was scared. So I asked the FBI, what happens if I were to go to Mexico? And they told me, well, let's just put it this way. If you're in Mexico, we're not worried about you. You know? So it's pretty clear what was going on. You know? From there, I was put, you know, supposedly we're not in a criminal, supposedly being without status isn't a criminal, like, charge. It's an administrative charge. But when they transferred me, they transferred everyone in chains. Your ankles are shackled, your wrists are shackled, and you have a chain around your waist. So they put me in that whole getup, and then I was transferred to Webb County in Laredo.
Can you just describe the facility? You know, what was it like? What were the other people like? How would you describe the guards in your time there?
Okay, yeah. Webb County Detention Facility, from my understanding, is, like, actually a federal prison. Literally a federal prison, which got a contract with ICE and was converted into a detention center. So the visitation rooms were no contact. They were the individual ones with no contact and the glass. You were in cells. When they moved me into the big dorm, we were in two-person cells with a big living area in the middle. You know, it was a prison that just so happened to hold immigrants now. As far as the guards go, I always told everyone detention facilities are some of the most dystopian places I can imagine, because the one I was in was literally a prison. Well, all are prisons, but mine, its previous purpose was a federal prison. But instead of seeing police or, you know, wardens and all of that, you don't see cop badges. You see people wearing the logo of a company on their shirts. They're all rent-a-cops.
Yeah.
You know? Is how, you know, simply put, is everybody there is a rent-a-cop. There are people who either just landed in that job randomly, or there are people who are gaining security experience to become police officers. It's ugly and it's dystopian, but at the very least, they didn't fuck with me too much. They just kind of, you know, they didn't help me in any way, but yeah.
You're talking about the guards? The guards.
Yeah, the guards.
Yeah.
Yeah, the guards. So yeah, they are all, like, private security people. Like, they are people who work for a company, and their job is to guard you, I guess.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead. You go ahead.
I was gonna say, do they basically divide the prisoners? Like, do they have all the people that are picked up by immigration in one spot? Or how are you housed, I guess?
Yeah. So, they there were some marshals, like some people, they divide you by color, basically. So you have, and this is in all detention centers, so you have people who are low and medium low. And in my detention center, they're dressed in blue. And basically those are people who don't have any previous charges. And then you have medium, high, and high. High is are dressed in red, and medium highs are dressed in orange. And they placed me in orange. Blues can't mix with red and orange, but red and orange can't mix together. So I was housed with people who were high and medium high. So I don't have any previous charges or anything. I was put in with people who do have previous charges. And so that was my housing situation. And that is how the prison was, or quote unquote detention center was separated.
So in other words, it was a mix of people that were picked up by immigration and then also people that...
Oh, yeah. Sorry, I didn't answer that. Yes, there are people who have been picked up by immigration, and there are people who were caught at the border crossing. Most of the people I was with were from El Salvador, and they were caught crossing the border.
Wow. Oh, I meant people that were picked up, you know, just on the street for like selling weed or something like that. Or is that not true?
Oh, no, yeah. That's also a part of who I was with. Okay. People who were arrested and then were coming from getting out of prison into a detention center.
Gotcha.
For drugs or for just whatever bullshit charge some cop put on them.
Is there anything else you want to share or say about the, you know, the detention center itself? I mean, this is definitely something that's been on the news. I mean, obviously, this is something that you were involved in, you know, demonstrating against. I mean, is there? I mean, it, you know, it sounds really horrible, but I mean, is there anything else you want to say or talk about as far as that experience goes?
I think I can pretty much say that everyone I was in there with deserved to be free and with their family. I was in there with people who had, you know, made mistakes and who had, quote unquote, committed a crime, you know? But my entire time in there was, everybody in there was kind and supportive, actually. And I was in there with people who were crossing the border. Though they had previous charges, they were crossing the border because they have their entire lives up here. I was in there with, at one point, I was in a dorm of 8 people, and every single other person I was with was a father who was crossing or was getting separated from their family. And like I said, although some of them have made mistakes and some of them were caught maybe with drugs or whatever, like they were decent to me, and we were all decent to each other. The first night I arrived, somebody offered me some ramen, like, because I was pretty shaken. I can say that that is what I want to say about the detention center, because everybody in there deserved to be free.
Yeah. And you were in there for 2 to 3 weeks, or was it longer?
I was in there for about 40 days, a month and 10 days.
Yeah, I know on the outside, the I think it was like the nonprofit that was representing you. They were, you know, people were calling in. There was also demonstrations. I know like a chapter of the Brown Berets did demonstrations. There was obviously, you know, vigils and protests in Texas that happened. But, you know, yeah. there was a variety of actions that were taking place in solidarity.
Yeah, people have been sending me pictures now that I have access to internet. People have been sending me pictures, and I've been looking through the hashtag and just seeing a shit ton of support. And it's the support I felt when I was inside, but now I get to, like, see it with my own eyes. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I was in there just for a month and 10 days. There are people in there who have been fighting for months going into a year, and I really wish everybody in there had the same support I had. Everybody in there deserves the same support I have. I had. And have currently.
How to put this? Were people talking about like the Occupy and Abolish ICE movement on the inside? I mean, were they well aware of what was going on? Because that must have been, you know, for some people, you know, obviously there weren't many people there that were picked up because of a protest, basically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. A lot of people, again, were just arriving to the United States from El Salvador, and so some of them had seen the protests and everything on the news. A lot of them are very aware of the news and what's going on the outside. It's, you know, every day we would watch the news, or they would watch the news. But, so yeah, there were some who were aware of all the protests, and they were aware that there are people out there fighting. It was actually a funny story. One of the people who I was detained with was from Guatemala, and he was caught crossing. He was caught crossing, and then I showed him one of the pictures from the protest that somebody had sent me in the mail, and he told me, "Oh shit, you're the kid who was on the news."
Oh wow.
So that was kind of funny. But yeah, I mean, people are definitely aware that ICE and shit up here is getting really ugly, and people are also aware that there are people who are fighting it.
Mm-hmm.
Is how I would answer that question.
Do you want to talk about the decision to go to Mexico, and just, yeah, anything about that?
Okay, yeah. So that's a long and hard thing to like explain.
Yeah.
But I will try my best. Immigration court is fucked is about the gist of it. Immigration court, it's not okay.
Yeah.
I don't know. I guess I can't explain the whole strategy now that I'm out. So basically, if I were to fight for relief and to stay up here, we would fight for bond to get me out. The bond probably would have been denied because I was picked up at a protest against ICE. And the judge and everybody involved is very much aware of what I was doing and the message I was pushing. And it just so happens the judge who I was going to see since he sent me to Laredo is an ex-ICE officer.
Oh, God.
So, already this judge, which supposedly he's supposed to be fair and balanced, but it was pretty fucking obvious that if we had fought for bond, it would have been denied. So I would be fighting inside for months, fighting my case inside for months, which is fine. I could do that. I have a shit ton of people who would send me letters and give me money to call everybody. I'm like, I could do that. If it meant I was going to get released back home in San Antonio. But it really didn't look like that. Unfortunately, that really didn't look like a possibility at all. Because I am fighting, I was fighting against the exact system of oppression that I was trapped inside.
Yeah.
And so, honestly, that didn't seem like a possibility of me being released outside and or back to San Antonio. So we made the choice to do for voluntary departure was the initial choice. I went to court to ask for voluntary departure, which basically means it's not a deportation. It's asking the judge to allow you to return. So we asked for voluntary departure, and the prosecutor actually ended up fighting us on it, which is kind of weird. And so the judge decided that he wanted more time to review all the evidence, et cetera, et cetera. And then he gave me another court date for the next week. So within that week, it was pretty obvious to my lawyers that they weren't going to come to an agreement with the prosecutor, which they called up the prosecutor and like tried to make an agreement, voluntary departure. They denied it. They ended up bringing in more evidence, and it was pretty clear that if I were, that they weren't going to let this go. They weren't just going to let me leave with voluntary departure. They wanted a deportation. So there were two options. We could fight for voluntary departure, or I can ask for the removal. If I were to fight for voluntary departure, and again, this is why I'm saying, like, this is immigration court is fucked. If I were to fight for voluntary departure and it were to be denied, the judge would probably have to give a reason. The judge, and as far as a reason, that reason probably could have been national security threat.
Yeah.
And that would be on my record. Essentially, national security threat is not good. It sounds like they would label me as a terrorist or someone who.
Right.
Yeah. That would be on my permanent record. If the judge were to grant me voluntary departure, it was pretty obvious ICE would appeal it. And so I would have another court date. And we would fight there again for voluntary departure. And likelihood is wouldn't get it. So all that left me with was asking for removal.
Also, I think a lot of people are asking, how can you fight now to get back into the country, back into the U.S.?
Yeah. That's what I'm asking myself also.
Okay.
And I have a fucking, all my friends have helped me out with finding an incredible fucking legal team.
Yeah.
And Raíces has helped me out with an incredible legal team. And hopefully soon I'll have more news on that. But when we were in there, our main concern was, you know, right now.
Right.
And when I would get out, we would start talking about the future and fighting how to get back into the United States. I'll tell you right now, the judge ended up sentencing me, quote unquote, to 10 years of a bar, with a bar of 10 years. So.
Oh, wow. That you could not return for 10 years.
And again, I haven't talked to my lawyers yet, and I haven't done too much research on my own yet about if appeals for that and how it can be fought. But if you want, I will keep everyone updated on that.
Yeah. Is there, I don't know if you're asking for this right now, but is there a way that people can donate to support you right now? Or, if you are asking for any support. And then I think a lot of people might be wondering, you know, just where you're at right now, if you're safe and you have like a place to stay and all that stuff.
Yeah. I mean, as far as I'm safe, yeah, I'm in a okay part of town right now. I'm staying in an apartment. Well, not an apartment. I'm renting a room out in an apartment. And it's actually right down the place, right down the street from a really good vegan torta place where we have already met a few punks and a few vegans and a few anarchists. So I think right now what I'm asking for, there is a fundraiser. I forgot who has it, but I can send you a little link to that. If
sure.
People want to donate to that, that'd help out. But if anybody knows anything cool to do in Monterrey to pass the time, if anybody knows of any shows going on, if anybody wants to just send me some, like, support, just write, hey, this is fucked what's happening to you, but we all fucking love you. Like, I don't know, just a big old internet hug.
Yeah, totally. I mean, it just shows you how just disgusting and arbitrary all this shit is, you know? You know, it's like,
oh, it is gross. It's yeah, no, it's the way my lawyer described it is everything they used against me would not hold ground on in a criminal court, you know. And
right.
Criminal court is bullshit too, you know. Everybody here knows that. But everything they used against me would not stand in criminal court. But because it looks bad, that is enough. In immigration court, if something looks bad, the judge can just say, okay, whatever. Sure. The only thing holding those judges accountable is they don't want the higher court to reverse their orders. Like, it's a hellhole in there. Hope and all of that just doesn't live in immigration court.
Right.
It's spooky. It's not broken. It's built to be against everyone. There are asylum seekers, as with a bunch of asylum seekers, people who have had their family and themselves, like, being extorted by police, people who have had their fathers killed are arriving seeking asylum, and the paperwork ICE gives them is in English and must be filled out in English. It's pretty obvious that this is a system built against to keep people out.
Yeah, but at the same time, you know, use them up and exploit them for, you know, massive amounts of cheap labor.
Yeah, exactly. That too. And the, that's what's fucked. Yeah, that's a whole nother fucked up thing. Oh my god. Yeah, you're right. It's meant to keep people out, but keep them locked up long enough as they while they fight their case to exploit them.
Yeah.
That 100-mile stretch of land, or in fact, detention centers are all over the world. Detention centers are, like, even though they're not all on the physical border, detention centers are this black hole immigrants and asylum seekers fall into, where they are exploited for their labor only to be sentenced with a deportation at the end of it.
Mm-hmm.
And then another one comes in.
Yeah.
You know. And the detention centers aren't even the worst part. The worst part is how they are starting to treat people at, like, who are crossing. Like, crossing, I was, I guess, lucky would be the word I would use, that I was grabbed up here and taken to a detention center straight away. There, for people who are crossing, they are first taken into the Yelas, or another word in Spanish, they also call them the dog tents, you know. And that is, it's not a detention center, it's where Border Patrol drops you off after you're crossed. We're talking about cells that were made to hold 20 people being stuffed with 40, 50 people. They are packed like sardines. People are sleeping on the floor next to the toilet. They're sleeping under the toilet. You know, if you have to go to the bathroom, you're stepping on people and you have to wake people up and tell them, hey, I'm going to pee. You might want to scoot over, you know. And those are all over the border, you know. You have children in those cages, those conditions, stuffed in actual cages where you get fed nothing but a bologna sandwich and some sugar water, maybe some cookies, maybe an apple, if you're lucky. And I was in there with people who were stuck in those hieleras for, you know, 10 days. I think one of them was up in there for 15, something like that. Imagine breakfast, lunch, and dinner, a bologna sandwich for 15 days. I think this whole thing is fucked. And it's pretty obvious. It's inhumane. This from entry point to detention to deportation is inhumane.
Right. And it's definitely benefiting some very, very powerful and wealthy people, and all the cops that are making, you know, pretty decent incomes, basically managing people going back and forth trying to work and see their families.
Yeah, it's disgusting. It's like you said, it is definitely making this whole immigration court and immigration, all that is fucked. And detention is some of the most is fascism with a company logo slapped on top of it.
Yeah.
You know, when I was in detention, you would regularly see the DHS logo, and then right next to it would be a private company's logo.
Yeah, right now they're trying to, you know, one of the reasons they did the child separation is because after a certain amount of days, they're supposed to release families. And the reason they did the child separation at the border is it allows them to circumvent that. And because of that was kicked down, what they're trying to do now is they're supposedly going to pass a rule after the midterm elections that they can have indefinite detention, not because they necessarily want to keep people inside forever, but because they want them to be there long enough so they can deport the entire family, basically, and they can get around the rules that they had before. And I mean, that's the other thing, too, is just they just come up with new rules, and then they'll have a new rule, and then that'll be in place, and then they'll change that. And I mean,
more rules aren't going to fix this.
Right.
There is no rule that can fix this, for sure. I am with you on that.
Yeah. And I don't think
rules are the issue.
I don't think they see it as a problem either. I think they see this as like managing, you know, the situation, how they want to manage it, which is just keeping as many people under control as they can, and the people that are working out in the fields is in fear as possible. Like I said, they want people to be afraid that are in this country. Which is disgusting, you know.
No, yeah. And I think I would say it's pretty telling that if they add on a new rule, which people say is inhumane, their solution is to slap on another new rule.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think it's, and not remove the old one. I think it's very telling.
Yeah.
About how this, I was going to say this country, but how that country yeah. now handles immigration and handles people. I guess this country too. Fuck this country. Anyway. it's a mess.
Yeah.
You know, they just want power.
Well, is there anything else that you want to say or anything that you want to touch on in terms of just situation or in general?
I mean, I don't, if anybody is involved in protests, and if you are undocumented, I mean, don't let what happens scare you. That's why it happened to me, because they wanted people to be scared. Like you said, ICE wants people to be afraid. So yeah, if you want to go out there and if you want to stand up for something, don't let what happened to me stop you. Mm-hmm. Be careful. Be careful. As careful as you want to be. But don't let it stop you. Don't let, you know, stand up for something. Stand up for a world where you're not illegal. Stand up for a world where no one is illegal. Don't stand up to the world where this never has happened to anyone else.
Yeah.
Anybody else's family. That's another thing I wanted to touch on is the fact that, you know, this, what they did to me is, it didn't just affect me, it affected my family. They fucked with my family. family. You know, every deportation, you know, fucked with someone's family.
Yeah.
And I mean, I could tell anybody firsthand, anybody who works for ICE looks like the most miserable piece of shit on earth. They all look like deets. I don't know what it is about working for ICE, but you don't look human anymore.
Well, probably because they're not. They're doing things that go against, I mean, everything in their head that's saying, like, what you're doing is not a decent thing to do.
You're fucking right.
I mean, how can you do that and then walk outside and then see, you know, and then interact with people that, you know, come from Mexico, you know, are from there originally, and, like, you know, again, like, all this stuff, like, with your case, it's just, like, completely arbitrary. It's just, like, somebody made a decision that they were going to target you, and then, you know, all they have to do is just say, like, oh, you were at a protest, you know, you don't like ICE for some bizarre reason, and then all of a sudden you're thrust into this situation. It's
yeah, and within a month I'm in a foreign country.
Right. And I mean, if, you know, a couple people would have said something different, or if somebody would have stood up, or, you know, made a decision that wasn't what they wanted to do, I mean, your whole life could have been different, which is, you know, disgusting. You know, just like all those other people. So, and, you know, and I think the other thing too is, like, what animates somebody to do that? Like the border guards that are going out into the desert and, like, you know, taking water that groups like No More Deaths Leave and just dumping it out. I mean, like, what literally animates them to do that? Like nobody's watching them.
I can't imagine. I've tried multiple times to put myself in the mind of a Border Patrol agent, and in the mind of an ICE agent, and there's a lot of shit you have, a lot of bullshit you have to believe, mm-hmm. and a lot of things you have to not have in order for that to be done.
Right.
I think cut and dry is just racism. I think that's what animates them. That's probably the easiest answer to your question.
Yeah.
They're just racist. They literally don't care if people who are crossing the border die. You know, what animates an FBI agent to come in at a 18-year-old's lowest point in their life when they have just been taken away from their family? What animates an FBI agent to come and question them about their friends and about a movement they were a part of?
Yeah.
What is it that they want to protect so bad that they're willing to go to, like, they're willing to go so fucking low? What is it? You know, what do you stand for? And is that thing you stand for worth it if this is your job?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's something every ICE agent, every FBI agent, every Border Patrol agent, every fucking cop, every fucking security guard needs to ask themselves.
Mm-hmm. Well, on that note, you know, we're just going to encourage people to, you know, hit you up on Twitter and also, donate if they feel able to. And also if you're down in Mexico, you know, maybe,
yes,
maybe
if we have any international listeners down in Mexico.
Yeah, definitely. Well, IGD definitely has some contacts in Mexico that, contribute to the site. So we'll We'll try to make something happen. But hey, thanks for coming back on again. You know, it sucks under the circumstances, but if there's anything we can do to get the word out about anything, even though there's this border in between us, you know, nothing's changed. Yeah. Nothing's changed, you know, in terms of just, you know, having solidarity with each other and, you know, people thinking about you.
Soon I should actually have a pretty cool zine coming out, hopefully soon, about like poetry I wrote inside.
Awesome.
So, I mean, yeah, if y'all are on Twitter, and I'm sure I could probably send it to somebody.
Yeah.
So, I mean, people should look out for that too.
Awesome. Hey, thanks so much for joining us, and we'll talk to you soon.
Hell yeah.
This has been the It's Going Down podcast. Check itsgoingdown.org for daily updates, columns, action reports, and news. Go to itsgoingdown.org/shop to support us and follow us on all social media platforms. IGD, your daily resource for insurgent proletarian life.